this account of the Sermon on the Mount by Luke is not read as frequently as the Matthean account. They're saying basically the same thing, but Luke is saying it in a much more direct way. We'll leave to another time. See, they're both moved by the Holy Spirit. They're both recounting the true words of Jesus, but they're saying them in a different way, some of them. It's hard for us to put together, what did he really say? Well, of course, that presumes that he just stood up there and said it once, which is not true. It also presumes that only one record was kept of it, which is not true. See, the Lord's teaching was passed on orally and committed to memory, a thing almost impossible for us, but not for these people. In the famous writing by Plato, where Phaedus is speaking to someone, and he's about to invent writing. And the other one says, you're going to ruin knowledge by that. People will have no more memory. They won't carry things in their heart and have them possess them. They'll look at them, remember it, say it again, and it'll mean nothing. And when you look at the amount of stuff we cram into our poor little spirit every day through our eyes and ears, you see, words, words, words. There's some truth to that. What we have here in our Lord's teaching is what you can call the teaching on the great reversal. Who is really important in this world? The poor, the hungry, the ones who weep, the ones who are not popular. See, the ones who are excluded and mocked. Those are the important ones. And that's the great reversal. It's the hymn, it's the theme of Mary's hymn in the Magnificat. Now, some people, by the grace of God, set out to do just this, like St. Francis. If the great reversal is going to happen, I might as well get on the other side now and start to experience the joy and the freedom that happens when I get free of this pursuit of wealth, power, acclaim, popularity, pleasure, and live a life of truth. And that's, you see, the great reversal or paradox. So what does that mean for us today? Well, it means, where do we put our values? We just were celebrating the feast of Peter Claver, who understood this and gave his life to helping those who were prisoners, slaves, and because that's where the action is. And because that's where Christ is suffering. Well, what does that mean for us living here in poor old Montgomery County? It means setting our faces strongly against the values that dominate and enslave most of our neighbors who don't know God and certainly don't know Jesus Christ. Loving them, praying for them, speaking to them. And when our own hearts and minds are tempted to put our values here. You see? The rich, the filled, the ones who have a merry life, the popular. We don't have to hate that, or certainly hate the people. But we have to know that that's very dangerous. That's the way to death. How do I know? Look at Jesus. He's God. And he came among us to live a perfect life, to teach us by his example as well as his words. And what did he do? See, he condemned people, but almost all because they were religious hypocrites. They were acting like they were on the other side of the reversal, and they had a huge bank account, and they were all put out if they weren't the first at the banquet, and all the things our Lord observes and talks about, right? When you're invited to a banquet, don't go sit at the first place. I'm a Pharisee. You know, I'm a bishop. I'm a priest. I'm rich. Go to the lowest place. A lot of humor in that, right? And then your friend will invite you up higher. Then you'll be a big shot. Wouldn't that be nice? He knows us. But we have to realize it's not that, you know, we got kings who are canonized. But their hearts were free of this. Now, when Matthew records these in the oral tradition, it may be another way our Lord said it. It may be a way the Holy Spirit, we don't know. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, we know this is the mercy of God. That doesn't mean blessed are the rich who would like to be poor. I mean, that because they want to be poor, no problem. Write 3 or 4 checks and it's gone. I mean, not a problem. No, it means poor in spirit means that in their spirit, they're poor. They're not big shots. They're not, even if they have some acclaim, they're poor. Humble is the way. We now know this because at Qumran, in the Dead Sea Scrolls, this expression, poor in spirit, comes. And now we know what it means. You see how while we get all excited and something new is dug up, we're not just nuts. Maybe we are. But I mean, it's because there could be new insight on what Jesus told us. And that's a good example. So there are people without money who are harsh, cruel, oppressive. That's not the blessing, obviously. And so, and you know, there's only 4 positive and 4 negative in Luke. There are 8 positives. Where do the other 4 come from? Things Jesus said. Some of them you can see other places in the Gospels. He's trying to teach us something. Ever since the fall, we have been bewitched by the wrong things. We've put importance on the wrong things. And the Lord is trying to tell us, don't do that. I, the very Son of God, have come to teach you how to live. So we should take some time today, read this over, asking the Holy Spirit, show me what this means for me. In my life, where am I off? We can presume we're off somewhere, right? I hope you can, because you are. I am, you know. Unless you're already a saint. I'm not saying you're not. I leave that up to God. We have to look at this and ask the Lord to show us today. I'm not going to get from, you know, 0 to 60 in 3 seconds, but I can make some progress if you show me.